Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. Man, this is getting to be a real kind of a spoiled effect. Just one show a week. I promise that's not going to happen for a while now. Didn't have a show on Tuesday. Much to be done. Much is coming up. Good heavens. Spring has sprung. The grass is riz. I wonder where those flowers is. I'll tell you where they are, right out in my backyard. Just beautiful, and the hummingbirds are here too. Hopefully wherever you are, it's delightful. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and we're going to have a real special guest coming up. An extraordinary drummer with an amazing story and some very cool music. Woo! And we'll have some music for you after we're through with Ernest E.C. Coleman. And we'll have a couple of surprises in the way of those pieces of music and what we're going to tell you in the way of guests. It's all very exciting. Oh my gosh. Now, I see a number here, and I'm going to pick up that phone momentarily, but I want to be able to tell you this. We might have a little bit of a change of pace in the way of hours for the show coming up. My son, it appears, is going to get into a fabulous program, and that might take away a little bit of the time that we normally have from 1 to 4 for Hybrid Jazz, but we'll see. Now, hopefully this is the man of the hour here on the phone. Let me tell you a little something about EC. We really did make this, I think, this godly little connection. There are no situations that are accidents on Facebook, that's for sure. When I came across his music, I stopped in my tracks because I did not know as much as I needed to know about him and did some research. And what I can tell you is this. He has lived more lives in his one life than most people do if they live to be 80 or 90 years old. What a scenario he's had. Born in Naples, Italy, and following after his dad. Dad was a tenor saxman, an arranger, and composer. Ernest E.C. Coleman is all of that and an entrepreneur and somebody who really got blessed along this magical highway called life. Please welcome Ernest E.C. Coleman. Hey, E.C.
Hey, Miss Trish. How are you?
I am just peachy, and I'm so excited because not only you're here, but you're coming to the area.
Yeah, I'm very excited about coming to D.C. Very, very excited.
Oh, boy! This is so cool. You want to start from soup to nuts because I just love what has happened in your career. I have two pages of notes because that's how much I had to take.
Yeah, it's been interesting, Trish.
Yeah. And you were started off blessed when you were young because you got into the Naval Conservatory of Music in Norfolk, and you won an award for being the youngest student there.
Yeah, actually the youngest to graduate. It was amazing. The school the School of Music is a very challenging school, in particular for drummers, because we don't play a melodic instrument. And the school, it's like a 6-month program, but it's the equivalent of 3 years of college, you know. So it's an accelerated course.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the people that I was in school with had, most of them already had their bachelor's in music, and I was straight out of high school.
Oh my gosh!
And I was not prepared for the academics, the rhythmic and harmonic ear training. I just was not prepared. In theory, it was one of the most difficult tasks that I had ever faced. At that time, I was 17 and a half. I was almost 18. And it was extremely difficult. And, I mean, it was the first time in my life that I had to totally lock down and do nothing but study. I mean, there was no social anything. I had to study the piano and the vibes and was my minor in school. And fortunately, one of my roommates was a piano player, so he was able to really help me in terms of the melodic and harmonic ear training. But very, very difficult. I mean, it was, you know, especially at that age for me, and not having a background, again, dealing with a melodic instrument, it was very, very challenging.
Yeah, but look what it prepared you for. Because
I agree. I'm so happy. Yeah, I'm so happy that I went through the school. Yeah, very, very happy.
And the work ethic that you learned, holy
Absolutely.
Cow,
yeah,
that's priceless.
It was, you know, and I think the best part about it, Trish, is when you join that particular program, you are, you know, you have to read the fine line of the contract. And, you know, it's not like the regular military, because when you're in the music program, you're considered special services. So it's not like we were, you know, out there with guns or all we did was music. That was it. We, you know, that was our only job. But it says there's a clause in the contract that says, upon successful completion of your school, are you guaranteed this program? Now, what that means is if you fail out or flunk out of that school, then you're in the regular Navy, and they can send you, and you can, and whatever they need you to do, you have to go do, because you have to be able to graduate from that school. So having that kind of pressure on me, I was like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, I have no choice, because if I don't pass this, they're going to send me out on a ship somewhere to go do something crazy, something really crazy. You know, so it was like, for once in my life, again, it taught me discipline, and I had to say, okay, you have to buckle down and really learn how to do this.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm not sure if things were necessarily boom, one after the other after you did graduate, but you had a tour with the Navy Band, then you moved to L.A. Did you get work right away because of all that you learned? Yeah?
I did. I was very fortunate. I started one of the first things that I started doing was I started doing a little teaching on the side. And then I just started gigging. I mean, I was working quite a bit in Los Angeles, doing a lot of good things. I mean, playing a lot of Latin and Afro-Cuban music, which is my passion. A lot of Brazilian music, which I love, and of course the traditional straight ahead. So I was busy as soon as I got out.
That is so wonderful, because you made a lot of friends when you were doing that work. There was a lot of theatrical productions that you were working on, too.
Yeah, I did a lot of shows, yeah.
Yeah, and that paved the way for other people to take a look at you, because you were so variable. You were so versatile.
Yeah.
That the likes of, well, you got that important call from Loretta Holloway.
Oh, yeah. I still work with Loretta to this day.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. She is an amazing lady, is she not?
She is wonderful. She's in Belton, South Carolina. She's no longer living in Vegas.
Yeah.
But I've been her MD, her music director, for over 17 years now. And she's a phenomenal artist. I mean, I learned a lot working with her, and the greatest thing about Loretta is her book. And her book, you know, meaning for those of you who may not know what I'm talking about, just her music book, her show book, you know, she has one of the most interesting books, because she has music from, she has a piece that was written for Judy Garland. She has a Judy Garland medley that's written for like 32 pieces, like for a 32-piece orchestra. And for me, I was able to actually conduct a 32-piece orchestra from behind the drums, which was, again, almost unheard of.
That is amazing.
It was crazy. It was really funny, because a lot of the stuff we did, like if we'd work with the Las Vegas Symphony or whatever, wherever, a lot of the symphonic conductors really weren't able to switch gears from the classical to what Loretta was doing. You know, so they were just totally relying on me to get them through the show. And, you know, and that's exactly what I did. I mean, I actually would conduct from behind the drums. So, you know, I've had a great career working with Loretta.
That's really awesome. And in working with her for all of these years, you were able to go touring to different places and to be involved in a situation where you're sharing the stage with Diane Carroll and Jay Leno and Kenny Burrell. Oh, my God, EC.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
My funny Jay Leno story is we were working with Jay in Atlantic City. And I can't remember which hotel we were at. But It was about 4:30 in the morning, and they were supposed to send me a car to take me from Atlantic City to the airport in Philly. And some kind of a way there was a mix-up in the car. So I was down there, and I didn't have a way to get to the airport, so I'm getting back on the elevator, and Jay Leno is getting off the elevator, and we bump into each other, and Jay goes, "Oh, EC, you're the drummer." I said, "Yeah, yes." I said, "Jay, how you doing, Jay?" He goes, "Hey, what are you doing down here this early in the morning?" And I said, "Well, I'm trying to get to the airport. There was a mix-up in the car." And he goes, "Well, if you don't mind riding in that big old thing they got for me out there, you're more than welcome to ride with me." And he had like a double stretch limo out there. And he said, I didn't bring my wife with me. It's just me." He said, "If you want to ride, you're more than welcome." He said, "It's just one stipulation." He said, "You have to go get pizza with me." And I said, "Jay, it's 4:30 in the morning." He goes, "Oh, yeah, I know this 24-hour pizza place on the way to the airport." And we did. We went and we had pizza. We sat in the car. We laughed and we talked. And it was a great experience.
And let me tell you something. As an extra bonus to that story, you were able to get pizza in Atlantic City, which is close to Philly. That was real Italian pizza, by the way.
Oh, it was
Philly's
great.
Oh, my God, I know.
Yes, it was great pizza. It was all I know. I don't remember the name of it. All I remember is that it's a 24-hour pizza joint. That's all I remember.
Well, look, so much is available 24/7 in Atlantic City because, you know, the folks who go there do not sleep.
That's exactly right. That's just like Vegas. It's just the same.
It is exactly the same. Well, it's nice to know that Jay was like that. I'm so glad. What kind of conversations did you have on the way, by the way?
Well, I mean, he was the most down-to-earth person. I mean, when I say down-to-earth, I mean really down-to-earth. I mean, just... He kept making reference to, he didn't know why they kept sending him these limos. He's like, he didn't like to ride in these limos. He's like, it's crazy. You know, he says half the time it's just me. He said, and you know, they keep sending me these big cars, and he was just a very down to earth person. I mean, I worked with him like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
But that was the only time that I actually had a one on one with him in a car, and yeah, that was the only time that ever happened. But I mean, just a super, super nice, laid-back guy.
That's really awesome to hear. You know, you don't necessarily assume anything about the stars that are relatively household names.
Yeah.
But
when
you hear something positive about something that some folks see every day,
right. It
always puts a nice feeling. It eases your heart. Like, okay, good. I'm watching this person for a reason. Then.
Right. Yeah, he's a really funny guy, too.
Oh, definitely.
Very funny man. Very funny, yeah.
So how did it come to be? You've been in the business for quite a while now.
Yeah.
You have worked with straight-ahead jazz people. You have worked with strictly showbiz people. I love the fact that you work with Whoopi Goldberg, by the way. That tears me
up. Whoopi was cool, too. That was another Loretta Holloway. We did her show. That was my favorite Whoopi story would be when we did Whoopi Goldberg. We were at the Golden Nugget in Vegas, and one night after the show, we were back in the dressing room, and we were in there talking, and Whoopi says, "Oh, well, I have to get ready to get out of here. I've got to go catch my flight." And it was about, at that time, it was almost midnight, and flights don't really leave out of Vegas. At that time, they weren't, at least, leaving out of Vegas that late. So I remember Loretta Holloway said to her, "So what airline are you flying? What time do you fly out?" And she said, "Oh, no, I just bought a plane." And she said she purchased a plane because she said she gets profusely sick on airlines, and she got tired and got tired of being embarrassed on a commercial airliner, so she had just went out and bought her own plane. So I said, "Wow, it must be nice when you can just go out and buy you a plane. That must be nice." So that's how she was flying from Vegas back to Los Angeles.
She is amazing. You know what? I will never take anything away from Whoopi Goldberg because she has done it all.
She has. She's paid her dues, too.
She sure has. And you know what? I have to say, haven't seen it for a while, and I get a little uncomfortable sometimes when it gets too confrontational. But if she wasn't on The View, it wouldn't
right.
be half as interesting. You know,
yeah.
That's true, you see.
I've seen The View a few times. I like The View, so I've seen it a few times.
Yeah.
But yeah, Whoopi is a very charismatic person, and another one who's very down to earth and not pretentious at all.
And you know what? The wonderful thing about Whoopi is that she is passionate about her convictions, and she will not shy away situations that are controversial.
That's right. She won't. She'll stand up to you in a heartbeat, no matter who it is.
And guess what? That says everything about loyalty and friendship.
That's right. Yeah, she has a lot of fight in her. I like that, too. She doesn't bow down to anybody.
I love it. Well, back to you. How did it get to be? Because, you know, I've acquainted myself, of course, with Her Eyes at Sunset. This is your sophomore CD.
Yes. As a band leader, correct.
As a band leader. And man, you have done some bands. And you took the words right out of my mouth. I am trying to envisualize, if that's such a word, or envision you orchestrating from behind the drums.
Yeah. Been doing it a long time, you know. I did Bohemian Caverns recently in Washington, D.C. a few months ago. And the young lady that conducted an interview there, she said to me something. It was a great compliment, but she said, "I can tell there's a lot of respect on the bandstand for you." And I said to her, "Well, everybody on this bandstand in their own right are band leaders, and it's all about respect on the bandstand." So
that's right.
I've always been one to give respect on the bandstand, and I've been fortunate enough to play with people that I truly respect. And I think they respect me as well, so it's a great marriage.
Well, you know, I have to say, EC, that when I've been telling folks for the past many days that you were going to be on the show today,
sure.
and there has been a real warm reception from artists in both Baltimore and D.C., for your expertise.
Oh, that's very, very kind. I just work with a great piano player, as a matter of fact, from Baltimore.
Oh, is
who
that
knows
right?
You? Who knows you, as a matter of fact? Darius Scott.
Oh, absolutely.
I just work with Darius, and we've done a couple of things together. And Darius told me to make sure I said hello to you when I did, because I told him I was doing your show. And I anytime somebody has something nice to say about me, I'm very gracious.
That's awesome. And I would suspect that this event on May 14th at Blues Alley, I would imagine that with two shows, you're going to have close to sellouts, if not completely sold out.
I hope so. You know, it's my first time playing Blues Alley. I've never even been to Blues Alley before. So.
Oh, you will dig it.
I've heard. I'm so looking forward to it. I have a phenomenal band coming with me.
Do you?
Oh, my God. I'm bringing my own percussionist. I've been using different percussionists when I travel, but on this particular night, I'm bringing my own percussionist. He's from Puerto Rico. His name is Frankie Quinones. He is a phenomenal percussionist. And
oh,
the one thing that everybody gets out of my shows is the one thing that I do is I always do a percussion and drum feature. What I do is I have everybody exit the stage except for me and the percussionist, and we go at it. I mean, we go back and embrace rhythms from Africa and Brazil and Cuba and Puerto Rico and all of these places. And I'm telling you, I've had so many people come up and say, "EC, we love your show. God, the music was killing. But that drum percussion feature, man, please, we want to hear that over and over and over." I mean, we really have a good time with that, and people seem to really appreciate that.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. Are you going to have any of the guys that were on the CD with you?
Actually, no.
Okay.
Actually, those guys are all – they'll be playing with me 10 days later. I'll be at the Atlanta Jazz Festival. They'll be playing with me for the Atlanta Jazz Festival. I'm there May 26th.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I'm just so happy. I've got great players in D.C. At Blues Alley. I've got Janelle Gill on piano, who is phenomenal.
Oh, my God. Oh, she's fabulous.
Oh, she is phenomenal. She's like a female Herbie Hancock. I mean, she is incredible. I have Pepe Gonzalez on bass. I'm so happy about this. I've got Clint Heisen, who is a great percussionist and vocalist out of the D.C. area, who's also a business partner of mine. He's on the gig, and I mean, I just have this band and Frankie Quinones coming, and I've got another brother that's going to be playing with me. What is this guy? I can't think of. He's a flutist, actually, a really, really great flute player. His name has just slipped my mind. It'll come to me shortly. But, yeah, a phenomenal group playing with me that night. I'm very, very excited about it.
I am so tickled for you. And that's going to be that will be in a couple of Mondays, the 14th.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
It's like, 2 weeks away. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm really
my gosh.
Excited about Blues Valley. I can just tell people now, if you, my shows are definitely not for the rhythmically challenged. So when you come to my shows, it's going to make you want to do something, I promise you, because the music, you know, the premise of my shows, they're very strong, rhythmically based shows. To me, I always equate it to, if you're a chef, I have a lot of cayenne pepper in my shows, so it's going to be it's going to be something for the palate to enjoy.
Well, you know what? It's funny that you should say, you've alluded to the fact that you really do love the music of Brazil, and you've got that vibe inside of you. And one of the songs I gravitated to is your take on Waters of March.
Oh, isn't that a beautiful song?
Oh, my gosh. And you can just tell. Look, we both have heard many people in our lives do that song.
Sure.
But when somebody feels it, you feel it to your toes.
That's right. You're exactly right, Trish.
And you just did it. I mean, can I play that right now?
Oh, please. God, that'd be great. I haven't heard it in a while. That'd be great.
Oh, this is so wonderful. This is in Baltimore. The sun is shining. It's about 78 degrees right now. There are birds in the trees. This is the perfect song to go with this day. This is Ernest E.C. Coleman, my buddy, from his wonderful Her Eyes at Sunset CD. And this is Waters of March on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Man, hanging on to that last note. I just love everything about that song.
I can see you dancing through the phone, Trish.
Listen, I'm not the only one. The chat room is, too.
When we recorded that, we did that in one take. We ran through it one time, and it was funny because my percussionist on the record, his name is Rafael Pereira. He's from Brazil. And while we were rehearsing, you know, running through it, I kept looking at him, and he kind of had, like, tension on his face. And I kept thinking, why is he looking like that? And we did it one more time, and when I saw him start dancing while we were recording, I smiled and I said, I nodded my head, and he nodded back to say, that's it. And so I was like, okay, cool, keep it. That's a keeper. We know we're going to keep it. Yeah, and then we played it back in the booth, and everybody in the booth was dancing. Like, it was an amazing moment.
You know what? And this is the cool thing. And you have done so much work that you know the difference. First of all, folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Ernest E.C. Coleman on the phone. E.C., he prefers that. Don't call him Ernest.
Ernest is gone now. Yeah, it's just E.C. or E.C.3. That's it.
E.C.3. Yeah, I'll have to ask you about that.
I know.
but here's the thing about this song. I love it after hearing a different genre. Like, for example, there is a young man that I love on American Idol this season, Joshua Ledet. And he's got this powerful voice, and what he does is he builds and builds, and it comes into this amazing crescendo, and that's how he ends the song. This song, when you do your Waters of March, here is all of this interplay. It builds quickly, and the back and forth of sax and keys is so awesome. And then you play in drums, and then at the end, instead of coming into another crescendo, it comes on down.
Right. It's like when you see people that like track stars. And you see them pushing, and then the very end, they just kind of have that nice little stride to go across the finish line. It was, to me, I felt like there was nothing else we could have said on the song. That was it.
And you know what? That was exactly right, because the movie comes into mind when you hear the song. Here's a couple that are strolling the beach, and they're playing around, and they're kissing, and all of a sudden, you're seeing them mosey on down the sideway.
That's it. Time to go. You're exactly right. That's a great arrangement. The person that arranged that song is Jose Manuel Garcia, and Jose, he's my number one pianist on the East Coast. He's from Caracas, Venezuela.
Oh my!
He's a phenomenal cat. And on top of that, Jose is only in his 30s, and
what?
he has a PhD in music education in his 30s. And he has a PhD in music education.
You know, isn't that phenomenal? Wow.
How crazy is that?
To not only have, well, this is the amazing part, to not only have the book knowledge, but also the intuitive sense on what needs to be done.
Yes, that's correct.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And, you know, you meet certain people, certain musicians that you play with, and, you know, no matter how great they are, you know, certain people you just click with. And Jose Manuel Garcia, we just, you know, I consider us, we're married. That's the way it feels. It's like, it's just such a, I mean, we just know what each other is going to do. And then we also married the bassist, Craig Shaw, which is another bad cat out of Atlanta. You know, it's like when we recorded, it was just like magic. And you very rarely get to record as quickly as we did. I know the first night with the CD Her Eyes at Sunset, We did five final tracks in one night, which is like unheard of.
Oh, yeah.
But the energy was there, the vibe was there, the musicianship was there. There was just no talking. It was like, and even the engineer, after every song, he'd get up and go, no need to hear that one back, next. I mean, it was just like, it was killing. So it was something very special about that project.
You know, when you're sure about what you do, and I guess the confidence came to you early on, because it just seems like you are the go-to guy. If anybody wants extraordinary drum, they come to you.
Well, Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of just, you know, there's a lot of great drummers out there. There's so, you know, so many great drummers, and I'm just a work in progress. You know, I mean, I practice every day. I practice the basics every day, and I, you know, I've been humbled by working with some cats that just blew me away, and they made me be very humble to this music, because with jazz music, the greatest part about it is there's no cap on it. There's no roof on it. You know, you can always get better. So I don't believe in being a master drummer or a master of anything. You know, when it comes to jazz, you can always get better. And so, you know, working with some of the guys that I've had an opportunity to work with, you knew better than to even think that you might be great. You know, you just humble yourself and keep your ears and your mind open, and you try to learn. You know, because it's a daily thing to learn as much and embrace as much of this music as you can.
Well, God bless you. You
Thank
are
you.
Wonderful to say that, EC, because so many need to understand that lesson. We're always perpetual students. We never stop learning.
Never. That's the greatest part about it.
Yeah.
You can always get better. There is no, you can never go, okay, well, I don't need to practice anymore. I'm done. I got it. That's it.
Right.
It doesn't work like that. And it took me a while to learn that. And, you know, when I was young and, you know, playing with some of the greats like Al McKibben, the bassist Al McKibben, you know, I had to deal with his attitude. And Al hated me the first few weeks that we played together. I mean, every night he was frowning at me, and I was just, you know, I was young and cocky and arrogant, and I thought, you know, I had great chops, my hands were killing, and I thought I was doing all this great stuff. And he humbled me, you know, and he humbled me in a very raw fashion that I can't repeat on the air. Trust me. He got me straight. Oh, yeah. He got me straight.
And meanwhile, you developed this close relationship with Al McKibben, probably more than most people you've ever had in your life.
Oh, yeah. He was probably outside of my parents. Al McKibben would have been next.
Oh, my.
Yeah, we lived together for 5 years because we
That's
had to
beautiful.
Share a condo. We did a show called Bourbon Street, which was out of New Orleans.
Yeah.
And the show was in Vegas. And so at some point we had to move out of the hotel and move into condos. And it was two to a condo. And I was very fortunate enough to be roommates with Al McKibben. And Al at that time was about 72, I think. No, maybe 70, when we first started doing that show. And like I said, every night, we did three shows a night, six nights a week, so
sure.
18 shows a week, yeah. And the show was based on a brothel, so it had all these dancers in the show, and we were the house band in this brothel. I mean, it was a great show, musically and the dancing, and it was a killing show. But I remember the first few nights playing and thinking that I'm doing all this great stuff, and I was, like, really cocky then and arrogant. And I'm trying to show, you know, I knew Al was on the show, and everybody was, you know, basically bowing down to Al McKibben. And I was like, I'm going to show Al McKibben what I can do.
Oh,
and
boy.
And I'm trying all this stuff, and every time I look at him, he's frowning. And then one night, Trish, I went up to him, and I said, excuse me, Mr. McKibben. I said, every night we do this show, you keep frowning. Is there something wrong? And he said, yeah, something wrong. And I said, well, what is it? He said, you.
Oh.
And I said, excuse me? He said, yeah, you. You're what's wrong. I said, well, what do you mean? And of course, I have to paraphrase. But he said, you play like those young cats. No, you play like those young cats. He said, you don't know nothing about those drums. You play like the young guys.
Oh boy.
And I said, I play like the young guys. I said, well, maybe because I am a young guy. Maybe that's why. He goes, yeah, well, you need to embrace the history. And I said, whatever. And I walked away, and you know, and I was upset, you know, and I walk away and. All of a sudden, I went back to my room, and I pulled up the jazz encyclopedia, and I started reading up on Al McKibben. And I see where he's played with all these people from Art Blakey, Elvin Jones, Max Roach, with the Duke Ellington Band, with the Count Basie Band, with Dizzy Gillespie. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, wait a minute. Maybe I need to rethink this. And I went back to him the next night, and I said, Mr. McKibben, I want to apologize. I didn't mean to walk off. He said, I knew you were going to come back and say that. And I said, oh, okay. And we started talking, and he started telling me, because Al knew all about the drums. That's the thing. Al knew Brazilian and Latin music so well. He was a great, he tap danced very well. and he would teach me how to play brushes based on tap dancing, and all these little things that he showed me about the drums. And he was, and so when he showed them to me, and I embraced them, and I started doing them, and I started telling I could tell the difference. And we had a 10-piece band for the show, and all of a sudden the show started swinging so hard.
Oh man!
And he would lean over off his stool because he was a big guy. And he would lean over, and I really wish I could tell you what he said, but I can't. He would lean over in my ear and basically said, "That's what I'm talking about." And when he said that to me, it was like the greatest feeling went through my entire body. I was like, "Oh, wow, I just got approval from Al McKibben."
That went on
for 5 years. I mean, and I learned every personal story about all the greats. Because we would sit up every night after the show, and he'd put on his little robe, and he's in his 70s. I mean, and hanging out with me, and we were like buddies.
I was
40 years younger than Al, you know, and we would just hang out like we were best friends.
And you
and
know
I'm
what?
I'm still great friends with his daughter, Allison. I speak to Allison all the time now. She still lives in Al's house in the Hollywood Hills in Los Angeles, and her name is Allison McKibben, and I'm still very, very close with her now.
And, you know, he was probably thrilled that you were so willing to lay down your defenses and learn.
Yes. Yeah, he was. Al was just and I never thought, you know, Trish, which is kind of weird because of the age difference, I never ever in my mind thought that one day I would be sitting up telling this story with him not being here.
Yeah.
That never ever crossed my mind. I mean, never thought about it. I never looked at him like that because he was so youthful, you know, and I would go over his house and we weren't working, we'd drive to L.A. and go to his house for the weekend. If we had a week off or something, you know, we'd go up there and hang out, and his wife would cook dinner, and we'd sit out on the patio and laugh. I mean, you would have thought that me and Al were the same age. I mean, that's just the way it was.
Well, it's because you have been an old soul for all of your life.
I have, yeah, I really have.
Yeah.
I really have. My father, you know, I remember being in high school or even before high school, and I loved easy listening music. I loved to be on the elevator and hear Elevator. I loved it. Everybody else would hate it. I loved it. I'd go to shows that my father played in, like Guys and Dolls and, you know, shows like that, and I knew every line of the show. I knew every person's line. I knew every solo. I knew every entrance. I knew, and I was 8 or 9 years old.
See, you probably remember, too, your dad being a tenor saxman and, you know, an arranger and composer. You probably had music around you all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know if you listened to radio or not, but back in the day, we had some great radio, like AM radio stations that were turning out easy listening. There's not a lot of people who will say that term anymore. You see, middle-of-the-road music and easy listening and the stuff that was considered jazz light back then.
Right, right.
But
I always loved strings. You know, that's one thing I haven't done yet that I definitely would like to do. I'd like to record a record with strings. That's something that I really want to do. And I remember listening to Kenny Barron on your show, and Kenny said that's something he wanted to do. And it just blew me away for him to say that because Kenny is the man. I mean, he said whatever he says, he should without a hesitation.
Well, you know what? I think that you should get together with Kenny Barron then. That would be awesome.
Oh, I love Kenny Barron. I haven't had a chance to meet Kenny yet, but I'm sure we'll cross.
Well, you know what? He played at the Baltimore Museum of Art a couple of weeks ago, and this is bears repeating this story just because of the fact that there seems to be a resurgence in interest in really great jazz. And there was standing room only at this one room at the Baltimore Museum of Art.
Wow.
That says everything, doesn't it?
I know. He deserves it.
Well, I'm saying that for your benefit, too, because you know what? You really are a breed apart. I mean, my God, you've worked with Bill Cosby. You've worked with Don Rickles. You've worked with these straight-ahead cats. You've worked with contemporary people. You know your way around what you're doing as far as your instrument or instruments are concerned. But moreover than that, you've got this passion inside of you for feeling the music. And that's different than technically perfect.
It is. Yeah, it's something really deep in me. Even with Brazilian and Afro-Cuban or Latin music, you know, and I don't know where it comes from. And for so long, you know, I would always think, why does this music make me feel like this? Like I just get when I hear it, it does something to me. And I guess, you know, part of it would be when the slave ships went through Brazil. I'm all I can guess, because I haven't had a chance to trace my roots, is that it must have been some of my people on that ship. Because when I hear that music, when I hear bossa novas and sambas, and when I hear that stuff, it just, I mean, it really does something to me. I mean, I can't even describe the great feeling that I get.
That's something. And you, fascinating that you should say that, because I really believe that too. Some people would poo-poo that, but if you feel as though there was a connection, even though you don't know, you don't have the facts in front of you, you feel so strongly that there was a connection in your roots that yeah. make you infused with this purpose.
Yeah. And then when you start to study the music, you know, because I definitely also believe in an academic approach, but when you study the music and you see how all these rhythms originated in Africa, you know, and then to Brazil, and you start to see how they come together, because to me nothing is better than sharing the stage and having a multicultural setup, because we all have the differences to me in people is what makes us all so great, because you would never want all of the same ingredients in a pot of soup. You know, you want to have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and kind of mix it all up, and it comes together. And I love that, because that's when the feeling, it just does my heart really, 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 really well when I put it together like that.
Well, that's why, baby, I call the show Hybrid Jazz.
Yes. And you're funny, Trish, because when you speak about music, and I've heard your show a couple of times, you sound like a musician to me. Like you have a passion for it that's beyond just somebody who appreciates the music. You really feel it. Just when I said I can see you dancing through the phone, I really meant you just seem to me like you really feel the music, like, more than most.
Well, God bless you. You know what it is, EC? It's that I have such love for the people that are on the show, and I feel them. It's been the case where 9 times out of 10, anybody who comes on this show has such a positive notion about why they do what they do.
Yeah.
And you can't help but be infected in all the right ways with that.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Your music, you know this is true. The way you play, the people that you put together in order to play.
Yeah.
You've done some major healing to folks, and you don't even know.
Right. And I was asked a question recently on another interview. I was asked, so, EC, how did you get into the Latin and Brazilian? Like, and all I could tell them was it got into me. I didn't get into it. I didn't sit up one day and go, you know, I think I just want to play this kind of music. It just took over, and it's way too strong for me to try to fight it, and I'm loving the ride, I tell you. And I've even said with this particular CD, Horizon at Sunset, that CD as a band leader, and this is sounds a little morbid, but I don't mean it like that. But if I were to pass today, God forbid, I would be totally in heaven looking down smiling. Well, hopefully I'd be in heaven, totally looking down smiling, because that record truly depicts who EC is. I mean, I spent so long in the song selection and everything and putting the people together and the vibe, just everything about that CD is me. And I would be very satisfied. You know, again, God forbid, I'm not ready to go anywhere, but if I had to go, if I had to go, it would be okay.
Well, I think you're going to be around for a while. It's not my right to say, but I sure hope you are, because a lot more people need to feel that magic, and you're going to get a cross-section of folks when they come to Blues Alley on the 14th. People of all colors, cultures,
I love
ages.
That. Yeah,
I know. I do too. And when they all feel that same vibe, you must get high from behind those drums because you can see.
Yeah, I had a gentleman stand up recently at a concert that I did, and he was so funny because he was an older Caucasian man, and he stood up, and it looked like he was having convulsions. And after the show, I went up to him, and I said, are you okay? He goes, EC, I don't dance. I never dance. But whatever you all were playing, he said, I could not stay in my seat. He said, so forgive me if I look crazy. And I said, you didn't look crazy at all. I said, you look like a man who was loving his life and loving the feeling and the spirit of music. And we embraced, I'm really serious, we embraced it. He said, thank you so much. And that, to me, means everything.
Oh, my gosh. That's such a high. And it's so wild. I have to ask this question because Dad, being a tenor saxophonist, you would think that you would gravitate to doing what Dad was doing, but how did you get involved in drums and not reeds?
I'd have to say the same thing. The drums got inside of me.
Gotcha.
I never had a desire to play a horn, but I'm very particular when it comes to hiring tenor players. I love the tenor saxophone. I grew up listening to Dexter Gordon and Coltrane. I love Dexter. He's my all-time favorite in the world.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Exactly. You know what I'm talking about. I grew up with that. So I'm very critical when it comes to hiring a tenor player. But what I did take from my father's music is, even as a drummer, you know, I think I'm a romantic. And so I love beautiful melodies. You know, there's a song on my CD, Horizon Sunset, which is written by Jobim. And I bet you even you didn't know that as a radio personnel, because I've gotten everybody. I have not yet had one person say, oh, I know that song. I knew that was Jobim. Not yet. I'm waiting for somebody to get me, but they haven't yet. But it's a waltz in three written by Jobim, and it's called Estrada Branca.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the most beautiful melodies, you know, that you'll ever hear. And I think I got that from my father, from listening to him play, is having a great appreciation for beautiful melodies.
That's real nice. Did he encourage you, or did he say to you, maybe you should rethink this, or was he always in your corner as far as...
No, he wasn't always in my corner, and I won't say that.
Okay.
I tried to take lessons from him because my father could read very well, but my father didn't have any patience for teaching. He just didn't have... And I understand now, because I have very little myself. I've done it, but I don't have a lot of patience. I think I took that from him. But my father was, you know, he was a very stern kind of a man, a very disciplinarian. He would love to come to the shows. I mean, he'd come to everything I did. But I wouldn't say that he just kept pushing me out there like, you know, you really, really want to do this. But I will say, when I did reach some success, that he was very proud to be in the audience with my mother. My mother was my all-time favorite fan. I lost my mother and father recently, but my mother would be at everything I did and smiling the whole... I mean, she was my best fan ever.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry that you lost them both recently. My goodness.
Yeah, but I'm sending the music up to them, so I think they're okay.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the thing with dads, too, EC, I have to say, is that, you know, some dads are so old school, and men learn such stuff when they're little, and then they grow up with that stuff, and they continue it and try to perpetuate it. You haven't learned it, thank God, but, you know, they really do try. My dad was like that, too. What could be perceived as naysaying was actually a way of them trying to communicate, I want the best for you.
Right,
I really
right.
want you to do well and to thrive, not just survive in the world. You
right,
know?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly, you're 100% correct about that.
God bless them. God bless. Well, you know what? I have a song in mind. You probably know me well enough to know what song got me. I've listened to the album twice. I like everything. But, you know, I'm so intrigued with Sharon's song.
Oh, wow. Wow. And I think Sharon might even be listening. That's funny. Sharon is my sister. She's a VP in D.C. at the Woodrow Wilson Center.
Oh, really?
She's a VP. She's over outreach and communication. her son, who was 23 years old, was killed by a hit-and-run driver a couple of years ago.
Oh, God bless.
And I flew into, so this was, you know, this was last year. It happened 2 years ago, but last year I flew into D.C. to have lunch with her at the Woodrow Wilson Center, and we're having lunch, and my sister is this, she's only about 5 feet tall, and she's this powerhouse woman at work where she's the boss, and, you know, she graduated magnum cum laude from Spelman, and, you know, she's just always been a very high achiever and never in need of anything. She's one of those. And so I had lunch with her, and, you know, she's been running herself ragged so she didn't have to think about the loss of her son, which was everything to her.
Yeah.
And we're having lunch, and we get finished with lunch, and we're getting ready to part, and I thought lunch went well, and I look at her, and I see her crying.
Oh.
And I said, Sharon, I said, you know, I said, are you okay? And she didn't want me to see her crying. And she was like, oh, no, I'm fine. And we embraced, and I immediately went to my buddy's house and sat at the piano, and I wrote this song, and it's called Sharon's Song, in parentheses, Her Tears.
I've felt every morsel. This is EC. This is one of those crown jewels from the heart that somebody writes whenever they feel it deeply.
Yes.
Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Check this out. Oh, you're going to remember this day because of that song and another one that you're just about to hear. That is our special guest. And the name that is on this CD, it says Ernest E.C. 3 Coleman, Her Eyes at Sunset, Jazz with a Fine Taste. Baby, you got that right.
Thank you so much, Trish.
That, EC, honestly, and people in the chat room are agreeing. As a matter of fact, who we have in the chat room is Griselda, and she's in Texas. Albert's in Michigan. Yolanda's in Maryland. Beej is in California. Matt's in Baltimore. We've got some, Debbie's in Baltimore. We've got some guests that haven't been into the chat room but are listening. And you've really affected a lady who I absolutely love. She's in New York. Her name is Chris McNulty.
Chris McNulty.
Chris McNulty is one of the finer jazz singers you'll ever hear.
Wow.
And that story, actually a few things that you've said have touched her so much that she's posted on Facebook just to say how much she appreciates the vibe that you're doing.
Oh, wow. I thank her so much for that. I'm sure we're on the same vibe. She understands.
Yes, she really does, more than you know, and you just told the story about your sister, and I know that touched her too. That
wow.
is a beautiful song, Sharon's song, Her Tears from
yeah.
Her Eyes at Sunset. My God, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and people can go to the website, Trish. It's just ErnestColeman.com, and
uh-huh.
the CD is there. You can hear it, or you can pick up the CD, Her Eyes at Sunset, on CD Baby, Amazon, you know, all those normal places.
That's wonderful.
My fan page is just EC3 on Facebook. I'm definitely looking for more fans and love artists to come on my page. I love that.
That's
and take
great.
A look around my website, and, you know, I look forward to meeting everybody in just a couple of weeks in D.C. I really look forward to that. May 14th at Blues Alley.
And that's a Monday. That's just a couple of Mondays from now, and I'm going to let you go, but first you have to explain EC3.
One of my daughters, I have three daughters. I have Melody, Melodia, and Lola. But one of my daughters, Melody, who was a dancer, her and her friends, you know, my name is, I'm actually Ernest Coleman III. But all my daughter and her friends started calling me Mr. EC3 one day, like several years ago. And I really didn't like it. And every time I'd see them, they'd be like, oh, EC3's in there practicing. EC3. And all of a sudden I said, EC3, I kind of like that. So it's been with me for about 15 years now. So, and when my mother really was the only one that ever called me Ernest. So when she passed, which was very recently, I just kind of got rid of the Ernest, and now it's just EC3.
EC3, I love it, because you know what? It sounds like one of those real contemporary spoken word artists, and then you show up and you do the jazz vibe.
a whole different vibe.
I love it.
That's right. I love
well,
that. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know what? Perception is reality. Let people think what they want to. Just pay the ticket and buy the CD.
And what's funny is, you know, I've had people come to my shows that like all different genres of music. I've had so many people to say, I've never been to a jazz concert before. But you're going to be entertained unless you need to go see a coroner, unless there's something not beating in your body, your heart's not, because there's no way in the world you can hear these kind of rhythms and this kind of music and not enjoy it. I don't care if you like acid rock. I don't care if you like country, bluegrass. It doesn't make any difference.
That's right.
Because the rhythms are what's universal, and that speaks to everybody's soul. So it doesn't make any difference what kind of music you like.
And a special shout-out to old white men who have never danced, because
there
was your opportunity.
They're my favorite fans now. They're my favorite fans. I'm going to start a page.
That is so cool.
I'm going to start a page. That's right. But before I go, Trish, I want to give a special shout-out to Clint Heisen, who is my business partner. He's in D.C. He'll be with me at Blues Alley. The person who set this up for me, Sharon E., you talk to her all the time, and she definitely keeps me in order, that's for sure. She definitely does that. So your spirit is beautiful, Trish. I knew we'd hit it off once we got on the phone, and I really appreciate the opportunity to have this interview with you. I appreciate that.
Oh, you know what, EC? I knew it too, and I knew time would fly by. I just can't believe it, because there's so much you have to say and so much goodness inside of you. And Sharon is a matter of fact, she is in the chat room with us. So she's listening to every word. And when this is in the archives, which will be as soon as the show ends, I'll make sure that your friends and your family get that link on your page.
That'll be wonderful. My sister, I think Sharon, my sister Sharon, is actually listening as well. And
okay.
To just all my fans and friends and just people who love music, thank you so much. And I am very humbled by being able to even spend this little bit of time with you, and really look forward to meeting you in D.C.
Oh, well, we're looking forward to it, too, with a great band. And thank you again. And you know that you're going to get a third song, so I'll let you go so folks can hear my favorite track so far on Her Eyes at Sunset, which is your version of They Can't Take That Away From Me.
Oh, gosh. Wow. Yeah, that's one that brings tears to your eyes. That's a beautiful song. You'll never hear it sound like that again, I promise you.
Oh, it's just a marvel, and so are you. We'll see you on the 14th, E.C.
Thank you so much, Trish. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, yeah, let me tell you something. It doesn't get much better than this. This is like 10 minutes worth, almost 11 minutes worth. You are going to just immerse yourself in this, and thank you once again to E.C. or EC3. I'm digging that so much. This is one of those standards. You don't have the right to do this standard unless you know what you're doing. Man, did they ever know what they're doing. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Do it. George Benson, especially for Rakia, if she's listening, she wanted to hear something by George the other day, but we had programmed the show already. That's the pivotal song right there from 1984's 2020. I just want to hang around you. Woohoo! God, it's so hard to believe. You know, in trying to wrap your head about the fact that George Benson will be 70 next year. I just read a review of him and a concert. He was in Chicago just several weeks ago, and the person who wrote the review was just so enamored of the fact that George, even though the sound system wasn't that choice that night, George just breezed right past, you'll excuse the expression, breezing. Just amazing what he is able to do. And this particular night, he did something that really thrilled the reviewer. He did a James Moody piece, and it involves some intricate lines. And George, his vocality was such that he seemed to apologize to the audience at first. Oh, you know what? My voice is not where it needs to be tonight. But by the end of the night, by the time he got to this James Moody piece, he was running with those lines, and folks were just tripping. He's amazing. And just so you know this, George Benson started off young, immersed in straight-ahead jazz with Jack McDuff, the organist. But one of his heroes when he was coming up was country jazz great Hank Garland. So, you know, it's not your imagination from time to time if you hear a little country in George Benson, because it's always going to be there. It's just so funny. He's amazing to behold, and just love him. A Pittsburgh native, and it's just so funny because I just played Mary Lou Williams ahead of George, and she was also one of those beloved gals in Pittsburgh. She started out very young, self-taught on piano. She was also a composer and arranger, a triple threat. We're talking baseball lingo now. And she did so much when she was little. She was just known as that little girl who lives in one of the neighborhoods around Pittsburgh. She was just a beloved person, and she retained that all through her life. Matter of fact, people identify her closely to Duke Ellington. I remember telling you that Duke had said that he didn't necessarily want his music to be known as jazz. He wanted it to be known as American music. And Mary Lou was steeped in the blues, but she got to learn what jazz was all about, and she got to not only be a friend to some really top-drawer folks, but teacher and mentor to a blessed few. She contributed to the arrangements of Duke Ellington, Benny Goodman, Louis Armstrong, and the track that you heard was It Ain't Necessarily So. So you can be assured that that was some early stuff like 1964. And I know that Duke had said about her at one point, she is like soul on soul. He thought the world of her. And she was from 1997 at Duke University until her death, and she went through a real big transition in her life. She got to be very, very spiritual at the end of her life, and at one point she said, I did it, didn't I? Through muck and mud, I did it. She really did. She had quite a career. Somebody needs to put her life on film, and I've said that so much about some recent folks, especially African-American inventors and African-American musicians. You know, we lost so much in translation, not knowing about the spirit of such talent and such formidable spirits that these people possessed. Mary Lou is one, and there was I'm doing inventors on Facebook now, or people who didn't get the right kind of push. When we were coming up in schools, we need to get the push to our kids so that they know that there's not just a handful of folks who made it as far as patents are concerned or who made it as far as music are concerned, but people that we never knew of that take our breath away when we hear about them now. So if I go on about some folks, you know why. Woo! So much to tell you, and I want to get to some more music before I do, just to let you know who's going to be on the show in the next few shows. Just real happy about it. Real happy about Kenny Garrett and his brand new CD. Woohoo! Seeds from the Underground. I have to play this. Lord, it's good. This is the title track on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
nothing but blue skies do I see. Bluebirds singing a song, nothing but bluebirds from now on. Never saw the sun shining so bright, never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by, when you're in love, my how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone, nothing but blue skies from now on.
Of Blue Skies, and I've got this, ladies and gentlemen, from the Red Tails soundtrack. Oh, yes, indeed. Terrence Blanchard put together the music for the soundtrack, and he made sure that Maxine Sullivan got her props from Homestead, PA, one of the considered to be the most reputable jazz vocalists from the 30s. Played originally in her uncle's band, and you know what her uncle's band was called? The Red Hot Peppers. Oh, no, not the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Back in PA, it was the Red Hot Peppers, and they were the talk of the town. Maxine was active for half a century, from the mid-30s to just before 1987 and her death. And the reason why she comes top of mind on this show is because she, like Mary Lou Williams, celebrate their birthdays. We're going to remember them on the 13th for Maxine and on the 8th for Mary Lou. Must be something about May babies. I don't know what it is. Maxine, by the way, if you ever come across her, she was also in some films and in some pictures of note, and one of those that I have to pass along, 1958, A Great Day in Harlem. If you have ever seen that portrait, there's all these jazz greats on a street in New York, and man, there's only four of them that are alive. Sonny Rollins is one. Horace Silver is another. Marion McPartland is the third, and I can't think of the fourth, but Maxine was in that portrait. And by the way, I need to tell you this, that the person who took that inspiration from A Great Day in Harlem and did a phenomenal picture of those of us who love jazz in Baltimore, Ray Gaskins, who was on our show a short time ago, would you please keep Ray in your prayers? He is going to go in for a significant operation very, very soon, and he really needs for all of us to gather our strength, our resources, good vibes, prayers especially, and send them his way. I'll keep you posted on that. My brother Ray has me a little worried, but he's keeping his spirits up, so hopefully all of us will do the same. Greg Adams, we heard Burma Road from Hidden Agenda with Leon Ndugu, Chancellor, and Leland Sklar helping him out from 1995. I heard Greg did a fabulous job. I know that Beej will correct me if I'm wrong on this pronunciation, the Temecula Wine and Music Fest in Cali just really did a number on people. And one of the folks who had rave reviews for him, and this is a person that needs to have rave reviews as much as possible because he's the guy that puts it to pen every chance he gets. I'm talking about Jonathan Widren. A lot of folks know his name. He's going to be a guest on the show coming up in the next few weeks. We're going to be spinning some favorite jazz songs from Jonathan. He said, I hope you won't mind if some of them are smooth. No, baby, it's all right. Jonathan really liked Greg and East Bay Soul when he saw him over the weekend. I was really tickled to hear that. Yay! And just so you know, on Hidden Agenda, every song except for Smooth Operator was written by Greg. I'm so proud of what he has been able to do. And these funk soldiers of mine, oh yeah, what we have been able to do collectively, I hear that now the Rehoboth Beach Jazz Festival is very interested in Greg and East Bay Soul. We have that chapter to be continued in this ever-ending, ever-wonderful book that we have on hybrid jazz from Trish Hennessy. Yeah. Kenny Garrett, to start it all off, three-time alto sax downbeat winner, Seeds from the Underground is getting some really nice reviews. My Libra brother from Detroit is really doing it. New and original music. 30-plus years playing with the best, and he has become the best himself. He's amazing. 18 years old playing with the Duke Ellington Band. Can you imagine that? Man. And he really grew. He's always taken some chances. I love this because you can hear the contemporary. You can hear the straight ahead. He's always got his mind on a global vision. And he really learned lessons well when he was a member of the five-piece band with Chick Corea and company. Chick has a way of expanding your vision, and he sure did that with Kenny. Love that. That was the title track. Seeds from the Underground. Woo! So much to tell you. As long as we're talking about guests, I'm just going to let you know. Steve Oliver was on Cool Jazz Conversations this past Monday and just had a great time. And Steve and I had a chance to talk the next day at length. And we really do have this interesting little project in the works, and we'll see. You know that his new album is out, and we're going to get to a track, hopefully, if I don't stop running my mouth. But anyway, Steve is going to be with me on Tuesday right here on the show. And next Thursday will be Gretchen Parlato. Yes, yes, indeed. Gretchen is going to be at Ram's Head next Friday, and we wanted to make sure that we get a little bit of time in with her so that she can talk about going to Annapolis and then on to Alexandria, Virginia at the Birchmere. So there you go. Yay! Got it all in. Let's get to some music. We have to do our Brides of Funkenstein segment here on the show, and to start things off, I can't think of a more wonderful individual to get it started than David Dyson on bass from his Unleashed CD. This is called Hot Sauce on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Come on. Well, an airplane's faster than a Cadillac, and a whole lot smoother than a camel's back. I don't care how you get to me, just get to me. Parasail, first class mail, get on the back of a nightingale, just get to me. I don't care, get to me. Pro cans, mope pants, take a limousine instead. They ain't cheap, but they're easy to find. Get on the highway, point yourself my way. Take a roller coaster that comes in sideways. Just get to me, just get to me. Go on, hit you right on the back of a butterfly. There's no better way to fly. Get to me. I look around, what I got without you. Maybe you could pollinate over the Golden Gate. Take a left hand turn at the corner of Hate, and then a sharp right at the first street light. Get yourself on a motorbike, and if you think you get stuck in a traffic jam, that's fine. Sing yourself through a telephone line. It doesn't matter how you get to me, just get to me. Go on, hit your ride on the back of a butterfly. There's no time my way, and I imagine that you are above me like a star, and you keep on glowing, and you keep on showing me the way.
I think it just got to us there, Sugar. Woo! Eric Scott, something brand new. Get to me from his Out of the Box, Where the Water Runs Deepest. Mm-mm. You remember Eric from several days ago, that voice. Oh, my. Such a nice voice in more ways than one. He's really stretching his wings on this CD. And if you have a chance to be in the area, I know a lot of folks live outside of the area, but I'm looking so forward to seeing this whole CD release drop happening at Ram's Head on May 22nd. It's going to be a really cool time. Lots of friends and family in the audience. And I'm so tickled because if you're an old hippie like me, to know that one of the original members of the Starland Vocal Band from 1976, Afternoon Delight, is going to be with Eric on stage. Now, that's a hoot.
Oh my gosh, just some really incredible musicians playing with Eric that night. It's a Tuesday, I believe. I believe it's a Tuesday, yes. And we'll be doing the show and getting things wrapped up that day and heading on out to Annapolis. Eric Scott, pick up that CD if you can. EricScottMusic.com is the place to go. He's keeping it up to date and paying some folks to do it right because I've taught him well. God bless him. George Duke, yes, yes, had to do it. I know I played something from the same doggone CD last week, but it's my show. From I Love the Blues, She Heard Me Cry. I love the title of this song. He might have been one of the first people to do it because, you know, it's become like standard in some circles to say, that's what she said. But that's the name of the song from 1975. Oh, my goodness. And speaking of an updated website, I'm so happy that George did this. And you know what? I can't help but think that when he was on the show some months ago, he sounded a little embarrassed because I pointed out to him something that I thought was happening that was current on GeorgeDuke.com. And he said, Trish, no, that's old. And I know that he got on it pretty much after that. And now, as is the case with George Duke, he does not have a moment to spare. This is so exciting. He just did International Jazz Day, and he was the music director for this humongous event in New York. And he was so touched because everybody worked together. There was some glitches, as you might suspect. There were superstars in the mix, and everybody was like a well-oiled machine. I thought he was going to cry when he posted this, status report, if you want to, on Facebook. But I guess he felt like he exposed some raw nerves too much. He was just so vulnerable. I think he took it down, but he was just very emotional about the whole thing in a good way. He's going to be going off to Brazil. When he comes back, he's finishing up Jeffrey Osborne's new CD. I'm sorry. Then he's going to be involved with the Brothers of Invention. And then, you ready, if you didn't know this, he's going to be coming to our extended area, to Woolstrap in Virginia, with the Clark Duke Project 4 and Boney James. Yeah, I got to fan myself a little bit. Yeah, just some sweet music ahead. David Dyson as well, the top of the set, Hot Sauce, the name of that track from Unleashed. And DavidDysonBass.com has some information. You should know that he's going to be part of the Texas DeSoto Soul Jazz Festival happening on the 9th of June with, get ready, Rochelle Farrell, Cameo, MC Light, and Doug E. Fresh, plus Pieces of a Dream. David is working with Pieces these days, so he's going to be with Jerry B. at the Youngstown Jazz Festival happening in July. And then moreover, David is going to be with Anita King at Blues Alley this Monday. We're taking pictures, everybody. Yes, I'm just buzzing. Can you tell? There is so much good music happening, I can't even stand it. And this lady, holy tamale, Corinthia Cromwell, my buddy that I just spent over an hour talking to the other day, she's going to be taken off for Nashville in just hours maybe from now. Corinthia just got a couple of unbelievable reviews, and I'm going to tell you about them, but I want you to feast your ears right now on her CD, Peace of Mind Outside the Lines. This is my friend Chrissy Cromwell and her Evolution Band, Justin's Groove, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Yoo-hoo! Had to have an excuse to play that song. So, okay, it's Stevie Wonder's birthday on the 13th. One of the coolest Stevie Wonder songs ever. Oh, the lyric in that is just so fine. For those of us who have spent time listening and re-listening to the lyric of that song, oh my God. You know, he really does transcend so much. And whether the topic of conversation could be the fact that because Stevie is blind, does that mean then that other senses were enhanced? Has he reached out? Does he go deeper than most people? I don't know, but all I know is that he got it in that song. Just so beautiful. That girl from 1981, actually a part of Original Musiquarium, which was basically a lot of songs that folks new from Stevie. This was one of four songs that were new. It was the B-side of All I Do. Oh, Stevie's going to be 62 on the 13th. I'm right behind you, Shug. Man, it's so good to hear that song, especially after Wes Montgomery. Where else are you going to hear a show that plays Wes Montgomery and Stevie Wonder back-to-back? Oh, no, my friends, it's just not done. That was Bumpin' from 1965. You've heard so many people talk about Wes Montgomery, and when they do, they say his name, and then they go, that's because there's a lot of silence. You just can't really say anything after Wes Montgomery. On drums, there, Grady Tate, Bob Cranshaw on bass, and Don Sabisky leading the orchestra. Oh, my gosh. This album, Bumpin', was the first of Wes's to reach the charts. It was 116 on Billboard's Top 200. The Shadow of Your Smile was on this CD, too. My goodness. Wes Montgomery, and you just can't get enough if you've heard one track. So that's why you have heard me play so much Wes Montgomery on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And to start it off, Peace of Mind Outside the Lines, and that would be P-I-E-C-E and P-E-A-C-E. Corinthia Cromwell on saxophone and her Evolution Band, which now is Justin Taylor on keys, and the song you heard was Justin's Groove, by the way, David Phillips on bass, and Will Allen on drums. Chrissy has had so much happen to her recently. Just this morning on Facebook, she let me know about some things. She didn't even realize this when we spoke on the phone the other day, but All About Jazz has an online report of top recommended jazz news in the last 30 days. In their top 10, a story of Corinthia Cromwell and her Peace of Mind Outside the Lines CD. And then there's another story from jazzcorner.com. Corinthia Cromwell transcends rhythm and melody with gospel and jazz on new CD. So that story gained momentum enough for AOL to post it. She is on fire, going to Nashville for what is called the Extreme Tour, and that's going to be in the next several days. She's also in this brand-new docu-movie called It Has Begun, no stranger to being in films. If you go to CorinthiaCromwell.com, you will find out more. Based in Baltimore, don't you know? She's going to be part of the D.C. Jazz Festival coming up in June, and I'm sure that we will have her on the show before then, and we're working on a project that is near and dear to both of our hearts. You'll be hearing more about this. It pertains to pediatric cardiology. Let me get the correct expression out. So you'll be hearing a tad or two about that. Very exciting news. Now, I've had to do some modifications here. Can't get to all the appointed music that we had mined. But what we're going to do is we're going to get to some meat and potatoes here. I promised you a little Steve Oliver track. God bless him. Steve Oliver is an amazing individual. You probably picked that up if you have heard him on the second interview. Now, there's one that we had last year and one this past Monday on Cool Jazz Conversations, which will not be on this Monday, by the way, since Joy and I are taking a hiatus to make sure we support Anita King. But here's the story about Steve Oliver. This whole direction that he's going with Global Kiss first, and then his brand new one, which just dropped this past Tuesday, actually, World Citizen. He doesn't even know himself because he's got such a childlike heart. He has no idea the significance of what he is doing. He's just such an amazing person, and we're going to be hearing more from him and what his vision is on Tuesday. Let's dip into the title track, shall we? You are going to love this. The multi-instrumentalist known as Steve Oliver and his Positivity in Motion
on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
if you say goodbye, I still love. Even if a dream may die, I still love. Even when my life is through, I still love. No matter what you say or do, I still love.
Love that girl. Oh my goodness. Gretchen Parlato. Hee hoo! From The Lost and Found and Still, with Alan Hampton on guitar accompanying her. They wrote that song together. And Gretchen will be our guest next Thursday. Yay! She'll spend about 30 minutes with us. She's got a schedule that is crazy. Let me tell you something. Ever since this girl, I call her this girl, this young woman, made her mark at the Monk Vocal Competition back in 2004. It has not stopped. And you want to talk about a roster full of A-team places to go? She is part of every respected jazz festival, and she's going to be in places this year. I promise you, you're not going to be able to see her next year in, and I mean Ramsed in Annapolis. She's going to pack that place because it's a beautiful venue in Annapolis, and everybody's got a good seat pretty much. So they don't know what happens when this place comes alive next Friday. That voice is just so magnificent. Robert Glasper, her longtime friend, the artist who has his own respect crowd going, co-produced some tracks on the CD, and she's just doing some real sweet things in, as far as mentorship is concerned, doing workshops. And check this out. If you go to GretchenParlato.com, you will see that she has a notation for Dana Stevens, D-A-Y-N-A, her sax player on the CD. Dana needs to have a kidney replaced. So there's information about what you can do or maybe how to contribute. If you go to D-A-Y-N-A, danasound.com. You'll learn more. Or go to Gretchen's and find out about Dana via there. I'm hoping and praying things are okay with him, because he's an amazing talent, and so is Gretchen. Gretchen fell under the teaching of Bobby McFerrin. Bobby said something in the past few years that made so much sense to Gretchen. I sing like I speak. And Gretchen tells everybody, it doesn't matter that you find somebody else inspirational. You can't pattern yourself after that person too much. You got to find your own voice and shine on your own. And she is so right. She doesn't sound like anybody else. And, man, there's a whole lot of men and women, because she's all about empowering other women, who would say that same thing. We heard David Sanborn, You Must Believe in Spring. Oh, my. That was from Closer, from a few years ago. I know he's had some more recent work out, but I just can't keep up. I thought he was going to take a rest for a little while, but no. He's at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival on the 6th, this weekend, with Joey DeFrancesco. Woo-hoo. And he's all about this Dream 25 anniversary tour. You have to go to davidsanborn.com and find out more, because he's everywhere. He really is. He's coming to the area as well. He has, as part of this Dream 25 project, the Chicago song. He wanted to make sure that he's giving folks tastes of what he thinks are his best pieces of work. And the Chicago song is part of a live piece that he did. He thinks it's the best version that he's done. And you can buy the tune via iTunes at davidsanborn.com. Or if you are fortunate enough to go back and forth on Facebook, he keeps Facebook very up to date. So, yeah, there's not a whole lot of time for anything else, but I wanted to get to one more song. Because Willie Nelson just celebrated his 79th birthday. And I thought it would be a real sweet treat, if you haven't heard this from Duets 2, Tony Bennett, who will be 86 this year, and 79-year-old Willie Nelson getting together for what is one of the cooler takes on the sunny side of the street on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Grab your coat, grab your hat, leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street.
Can't you hear that pitter-patter?
I hear it.
And that happy tune is your stepper. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street.
I used to walk in the shade with those blues on her face.
But he's not afraid. This rover crossed over.
And if I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller.
With gold dust at his feet, on the sunny side of the street.
Thank you.
I never have a cent. I'll be rich as Rockefeller.
The gold dust at his feet on the sunny side.
On the sunny side.
To have been a fly on the wall of that recording session, huh? Now, I'm just going to tell you this. I'm wondering if Willie said to Tony, you want to come back on the bus and smoke a joint before we do this? And Tony is no stranger to that action. Let me just make that clear, okay? So, I don't know, but it sounded real loose and real natural, didn't it? Yeah. From Duets 2, Sunny Side of the Street. Willie Nelson, happy birthday, Willie. I will always love you. Oh, my God, what an impression you made on me back in the day in country music radio. Just as sweet as could be. And just enjoying life, you know. He's had some tragedy. Shoo-wee, has he ever. But each time you see him, he's smiling. And you just can't help but love him. And Tony, what can you say? What can you say? Tony Bennett, it's a natural to have a duet like that. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here today. My God, you were a great chat room. EC, my brother, Ernest EC3 Coleman, was he not a trip? I love him to death. I really do. He's phenomenal. Can't wait to see him at Blues Alley on the 14th. Anita King at Blues Alley this coming Monday. Oh, my God. Steve Oliver coming on the show on Tuesday. Might have some more news regarding Steve Oliver. You heard it here first. I just don't know. Things are happening so quickly. And then next Thursday, Gretchen Parlato. The Tuesday after, Jonathan Widren. And we are working on some things that will make this month of May pop for you. You will not forget. Thank you, Griselda, Albert, Yolanda, Beach, Matthew, Kim, Debbie, Sharon, Chris McNulty. Bless you all and the anonymous several others that will be that way for as long as they want. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend. Drive carefully. Enjoy all this outdoor weather. And we'll see you on Tuesday. God bless.